Zimbabwe.
What's good, Zimbabwe muhle lengale tshona njani mthokazi muhle Zimbabwe muhle kwazi why mthokazi muhle Zimbabwe muhle. If you're tuning in right now, welcome muri Zimbabwe. You're tuned into Live Talk at the Connection Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth related. Muri Zimbabwe, we're coming to you from my apartment on Tuesday, November 30, 2021. Mthokazi muhle Zimbabwe muhle. I'm your host, Mike Obe. Once again, Zimbabwe Muhle Muri Zimbabwe, to everybody tuning in right now. Welcome. A very, very good evening to you all, Muri Zimbabwe. If you're tuning in from anywhere in the world, good evening. If you're in America, good afternoon. Welcome to The Connection Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth related. Once again, Muri Zimbabwe, we're coming to you from my apartment in Washington, D.C. Mthokazi Muhle Zimbabwe Muhle. Sisonke like so. Lapha kuhlelo lethu labasakhulayo. Thank you so much to everybody joining us. Unfortunately, Muri Zimbabwe, this is a pre-recorded broadcast. What this means is, Muri Zimbabwe, you cannot call in live as per usual. However, chichiri close pano pachirongwa chenu chevechidiki kuhlelo lwethu labasakhulayo. And namhlanje kuhlelo lwethu labasakhulayo, Muri Zimbabwe, tonight on The Connection, we continue the discussion on the COVID-19 pandemic, the pandemic responsible for taking millions of lives across the globe, thousands of lives in Zimbabwe. However, the conversation is not just going to be ending there. Muri Zimbabwe, we're also going to be focusing on the 2021 World AIDS Day, our commemorations. And of course, as mentioned last week, this week we're going to be continuing on the discussion on the 16 Days of Activism Against Gender-Based Violence campaigns. So once again, Muri Zimbabwe, tonight, Chirongwa Chedu is pre-recorded. However, as we speak, Mthokazi Muhle, we are broadcasting on our three Facebook pages, Sikwanago VOA Studio 7, VOA Ndebele, Ganyelago VOA Shona. So for those that are looking to give their feedback on the program, Muri Zimbabwe, feel free to write your comments in the comment section, and we're going to be seeing your feedback. Lingakho Fenjalo, which we're also broadcasting on YouTube for our YouTube fanatics. So, Muri Zimbabwe, head over to our official VOA Zimbabwe YouTube page for you to check out the live broadcast. And for those that love watching on the web, we're available on our three web pages, that being www.voazimbabwe.com, www.voandividend.com, and of course, www.voashona.com. So sikhona izulu kandaba, lingakhohlwa ukuthi sisonke lapha kuhlelo lwethu labasakhulayo, lingakhohlwa ukufitizela lapha yokubhala ukuthi like. Sakhangani yokuthinya phaya phakanze like. Don't forget to press the like button, and of course the share button. Kuthiwa kuthiwone chirongwa chedu no wonder wenu ukuze sikukele uhlelo lwethu labasakhulayo ngobuningi bethu, lingakhohlwa ukuthi sisonke like so thiri chose aphano pha chirongwa chedu chevechidiki. As usual, Muri Zimbabwe, we'd like to start off our conversation, a panel pachirongwa chevechidiki, with an update on COVID-19. So let's head over to the latest information released by the Ministry of Health and, of course, childcare. Now, Zimbabwe currently is amongst 8 Southern African countries that are on a travel ban. Of course, this is a travel ban implemented by several different nations. A lot of them are in Europe, Asia, and of course, North America. Now, according to the most recent statement released by the Ministry of Health and Childcare, and for everybody that is watching on our Facebook pages and, of course, our digital pages, you can see that statement on the screen right now. The Ministry of Health and Childcare has recently released a statement on the Omicron coronavirus variant, which is yet to be detected in Zimbabwe. Now, once again, this is according to Zimbabwe's Ministry of Health and Childcare. Now, Minister of Health and Childcare Vice President of the Republic of Zimbabwe, Honorable Constantino Chiwenga, is quoted on record saying Zimbabweans have no need to worry about the new coronavirus variant. And of course, the nation is taking all necessary measures to ensure that there are measures in place to mitigate against any coronavirus variant. Now, this statement is supported by South Africa's president, Mr. Cyril Ramaphosa, who talks a lot about the new coronavirus variant. So now, Muriya Zimbabwe, without wasting time, let us head over to a recent speech given by South Africa's president, Mr. Cyril Ramaphosa, who talks about this variant, talks about the steps that South Africa is taking, which are very similar to the steps Zimbabwe is taking. And of course, he also touches on the travel ban. Let's hear more from President Cyril Ramaphosa.
The country should remain on coronavirus alert level 1 for now, and that the national state of disaster should remain in place. In taking the decision not to impose further restrictions at this stage, we consider the fact that when we encountered previous waves of infection, vaccines were not widely available, and far fewer people were vaccinated. This is no longer the case. Vaccines are now available to anyone aged 12 and above. We are deeply disappointed by the decision of several countries to prohibit travel from a number of Southern African countries, including our own, following the identification of the Omicron variant. This is a clear and completely unjustified departure from the commitment that many of these countries made at the meeting of the G20 countries in Rome last month. Now, these restrictions are completely unjustified and unfairly discriminate against our country and our Southern African sister countries. The prohibition of travel is not informed by science, nor will it be effective in preventing the spread of this variant. The only thing the prohibition on travel will do is to further damage the economies of the affected countries and undermine their ability to respond to and also to recover from the pandemic. We call upon these countries that have imposed travel bans on our country and our other Southern African sister countries to immediately and urgently reverse their decisions and lift the bans they have imposed before any further damage is done on our economies and to the livelihoods of our people. The emergence of the Omicron variant should be a wake-up call to the world that vaccine inequality cannot be allowed to continue. Until everyone is vaccinated, everyone will continue to be at risk. Instead of prohibiting travel, the rich countries of the world need to support the efforts of developing countries, economies that is, to access and to manufacture enough vaccine doses for their people without delay. We know that the variant is responsible for most of the infections found in Gauteng over the last 2 weeks, and is now showing up in all other provinces in our country. Over the next few days and weeks, as more data becomes available, we will have a better understanding of, one, whether Omicron is transmitted more easily between people, and two, whether it increases the risk of reinfection, and three, whether this variant causes more severe disease. If cases continue to climb, we can expect to enter a fourth wave of infections within the next few weeks, if not sooner. South Africa, like a number of other countries, is looking at booster vaccines for people who are at greatest risk and for whom a booster may be beneficial. Government has set up a task team that will undertake broad consultations on making vaccination mandatory for specific activities and locations. That is, to make vaccinations compulsory for certain locations and certain activities.
Well, as Zulukandaba, you just heard there from our president, Cyril Ramaphosa, South Africa's president there, basically uttering similar sentiments to Honorable Constantino Chiwenga, urging all of his citizens to ensure which baya qhubekela phambili, they continue abiding by the COVID-19 preventative measures. We are showing impela ukumongameli Cyril Ramaphosa saying similar sentiments as Vice President Constantino Chiwenga, akhuthaza uZulu ukuthi hayi qhubekelani phambili, ligeza izandla, lingaminyani, lihlonipha imithetho ekhona elizweni ejonge ukuvikela ukumemetheka kwe-coronavirus. Uyasho ngempela umongameli Cyril Ramaphosa echoing similar sentiments lo umsekeli kamongameli wakwele Zimbabwe uConstantino Chiwenga, esithi hayi sekule variant entsha ememethekayo emazweni atshiyeneyo e-Southern Africa igcikwane le-coronavirus. But still, okay, so we have a long year, so look at the whilst on the discussion of healthcare. Today, Zimbabwe joins the rest of the world in commemorating World AIDS Day. Now, the 2021 theme of this year's commemorations is End the Pandemic, End Inequalities, End AIDS. Now, seeing as though, and I'm trying to wish a little bit of this is a youth show, Muria Zimbabwe, we're going to be focusing on the youth of the nation. So tonight, Muria Zimbabwe, we're going to be speaking to medical expert Dr. Chilo Tsibachikwari, as we focus more on what government needs to do to ensure abantu abasakhulayo, the youth of Zimbabwe, are safe from HIV/AIDS. Now, for those that do not know, recently, medical experts such as Dr. Ruth Labord recently attended, went to Parliament and put up a proposal whereby they were asking President Emmerson Mnangagwa's government to lower the age the age requirements for young people that can access sexual reproductive health care services without parental consent. Now, as is Muria Zimbabwe in the country, any child that is under the age of 16 needs parental consent before they can use any sexual reproductive health care medicines or facilities. Now, that is something that these medical experts were trying to combat, saying, the youth of Zimbabwe are doing this anyway. And so it is important to them, do it in a very safe environment, and do it, of course, knowing they have access to these sexual reproductive health cares. Now, the problem that they highlighted in their proposal is that a lot of young people are doing this, and they're doing this without consenting their parents. And so it is leading to young people engaging in sexual intercourse in a very dangerous circumstances that is leading to an increase in STIs and, of course, early teen pregnancies as experienced over the lockdown and has been experienced in Zimbabwe over the years. So we reached out to Dr. Chilo Tsibachikwari to discuss this, to hear her thoughts on the proposal that was put before Parliament, which I must highlight, this proposal was turned down by government on grounds that, as is the Constitution of Zimbabwe says, any child under the age of 16 is not of age of consent, which means they cannot legally consent to sexual intercourse, which is why they turned it down. So let's head over to my conversation with Dr. Chilo Tsibachikwari to hear her thoughts on the medical expert's proposal on this specific situation and, of course, what is happening in Zimbabwe with regards to youth and HIV/AIDS.
To start off with, like you rightfully mentioned initially, to say there's a high rate of teenage pregnancies. This is something that's not new to COVID-19. It's something that we know has been happening in Zimbabwe, you know, for some time. Mm-hmm. And what this means is that we know that young people are sexually active and, you know, it's the high rates of teenage pregnancies, but also the high incidence of HIV among young people. So a lot of young people are actually, you know, contracting the HIV virus. And there's also a high incidence of sexually transmitted infections. And so the data, which, you know, is one of the most credible things that we have, shows us that there's a need for sexual and reproductive health services among adolescents and young people. But again, you know, these things don't function in isolation. So what she spoke about was the legal age to access sexual reproductive health services. And then there's also the cultural context in Zimbabwe where we live in. And I think that's one of the key barriers that, you know, we need to talk about when it comes to young people. So it's not, the law is that, you know, if anybody younger than 16 wants to access sexual reproductive health services, they have to get consent from a parent or guardian. But as we all know from our social and cultural context within Zimbabwe, it's not, you know, it is actually taboo for a young person to talk to their parent or their guardian about sex. And so, you know, if I can't get a parent's consent to access services, what's most likely to happen is that I'm going to have, you know, sex without contraception, sex without a condom, and end up with unprotected sex. So, you know, she was trying to address, you know, some of the things that we have policies that are meant to be protective, but sometimes our protective policies have negative unintended consequences. And I think based from a programmatic perspective, this is a really good initiative that she's trying to address.
Dr. Ziwachipari, now in Zimbabwe, this is something that happens across the whole continent, but I want to focus on Zimbabwe today. In Zimbabwe, we have a lot of situations whereby children are raised by their parents, and their parents pass away, leaving them with no legal guardian, leaving these children, I guess, in situations whereby they're all living under child-headed households. So now, in such a circumstance whereby the child doesn't have a legal guardian or parent that can go with them, go with them to the hospital or the clinic to receive this healthcare that we're specifically focusing on today, what happens? Does this mean that this child immediately does not have access to sexual reproductive healthcare?
What you've given is a classic example of some of the challenges that healthcare providers on the ground actually face. So, you know, there's law and there's policy that's made in parliament and, you know, people debate it and decide that this is what's going to happen. But like you're saying, you do have instances where a young person can present at a facility and say, I need services. So I'll answer this using an example of a case that I saw while I was working at Budidiro Polyclinic. So a girl who's 15 years old tested HIV positive in the presence of her sister. She was most likely born with HIV and the parents are not in the picture. So when it came to actually initiating her on treatment, the sister was not available. So the sister was now, you know, married, had her own family and wasn't really invested in the care of this 15-year-old who really actually understood that she needed to get on treatment. But the law and, you know, what healthcare providers use is that you cannot initiate a minor on treatment without a parent or guardian. And she repeatedly came to the clinic to tell us, I asked my sister to come with me, but she says she's busy. And then we would say, is there anybody else at home who can come and, you know, act as a parent or guardian? And she says she wouldn't. And of course, you know, her health condition was deteriorating over time. And there is a clause within the law in Zimbabwe that says you can act within the best interest of the child. And so what actually happens is that case is then escalated from, say, just a general nurse in the clinic to the sister in charge, who then assesses the situation to see whether or not this minor is mature enough, if she understands the fact that she's now initiating lifelong treatment. And in the end, this girl was actually initiated on treatment. So there are, you know, ways to go about it, but they're often difficult. It's not everyone that then gets assistance. It's also at the mercy of the provider. So you might have a provider who's understanding, or you might have a, when it comes to sexual reproductive health, many providers are not. So when you spoke about the cultural context in Zimbabwe, the question is then at, you know, this age, where did you get HIV? Why do you want an HIV test when you're 15 year old? Who are you having sex with? Go and get your mother. And a lot of the time there's no, you know, youth-friendly service that tries to see what the actual needs of the young person are and how best to help them.
Now, the Ministry of Health, obviously led by Vice President Constantino Chiwenga, recently turned down advice or a proposal by medical experts that was suggesting that they feel as though the law needs to be changed to allow children 16 and below to have access to sexual reproductive health care without parental consent or without the presence of a legal guardian. Now, obviously, this is something that the ministry turned down on grounds that as is the constitution or the law in Zimbabwe, says that you have to be 16 and above for you to be consenting of sexual intercourse. But now in such a circumstance, this is obviously leading to a lot of young kids having unprotected sex, leading to several other pandemics, i.e. Early child marriages, an increase in HIV contractions, etc., etc. So now, how do we remedy such a situation? How do we fix such a situation?
So yeah, you're asking really good questions. So like we said at the beginning, the data does show that young people are engaging in this sex. The reason why we do have these policies in place is to serve the population that they are put in place for. And at the moment, like the VP mentioned, the current policies that young people have to have parental consent in order to access services. And what we're seeing on the ground is that, you know, like you said, you know, the idea is that if you're younger than 16, you're not expected to be having sex, right? But the data shows that they are having sex. And so what we're supposed to try and see is how can we align this policy to meet the needs of young people? And so it's having these discussions like we are right now to try and say, okay, what are we seeing? So we're seeing that, you know, HIV incidence among young people is high. A lot of young people are getting STIs. These are then issues that need to be addressed by the policy. We can't stick to the policy and not try and answer the questions on the ground about, you know, while this policy is in place, there are still gaps that are not being made. Mm-hmm. And so in this instance, we need to now consider how can the law be maybe more protective of young people, more supportive of young people who are now, because they cannot get consent from their parents, indulging in unprotected sex without contraception that they can't access, and are subsequently getting pregnant. And then what often results is like having backstreet abortions, which are dangerous and can actually lead to death in some cases.
Now, you're a medical expert, Dr. Zivachpadi, and of course, earlier on, as you highlighted, you have practical experience with some of the circumstances that we're delving into today. So now I am curious, what kind of advice would you have for A, the parents, B, the children or the youth, and C, government in terms of fixing or dealing with this current situation?
Okay, so I think we've spent a lot of time talking about the barriers, and you're right to come up with a question about what are the possible solutions that we can come up to. So I think at all levels, we can start thinking of potential solutions. And the first is, you know, like you're saying, we need to have this conversation, honest and open conversations about what we're seeing on the ground. I think it's part of advocacy to say, this is a problem. How do we deal with this problem? When we're looking at, you know, as researchers like myself, we're supposed to generate evidence to show that, you know, these are the interventions that may or may not work to help young people. And also policymakers and healthcare providers need to say, you know, what are the gaps in our service provision and how can we meet these gaps? So generating evidence, talking about these issues. As parents or guardians, I am a parent myself. I think while we may all want our, you know, children to abstain from sexual intercourse until they are much older and, you know, we feel they're mature, what we do know is that a lot of young people are not. And so as your parent, in the event that, let's say, your child cannot abstain, do you feel that they are adequately equipped to speak to you about this? Have you had conversations about contraception with your children? Do they know where they can get it? Or in an ideal situation, where would you like, you know, your child to access contraception?
Let me hold you there. Before you head over to the youth, I am a little curious. What is the perfect age to have that conversation with your child or with any young person?
So I think, you know, as a mom, my child is 6, but at the age of 6, he's already asking questions about, you know, the reproductive system indirectly. So mom, where do babies come from, right? So it's age-appropriate conversations as your child grows. So, you know, young people, even at the age of 9, are now starting their menses. Girls are now going on their periods, and that's a good time before that even happens to start preparing your child. So we're talking, you know, different ages depending on the maturity of your child. As a parent, I believe that it's the parent that actually hopefully knows their child best, but it's an ongoing conversation. It's not something that, you know, the day they turn 16, you then sit down and say, right, you know, you're about to start having sex, this is a condom, this is this, this is this, this is that. But it's assessing, you know, it might be that at 13, your son is now talking about having a girlfriend or, you know, looking at girls, and then you bring them and say, son, you know, now might be a good time for us to talk about, you know, opposite sex relationships. So it's an ongoing conversation that parents should have with their children. And then when it comes to actually, you know, young people, what I would say is not, you know, these are biological things that do happen. Of course, we do encourage, you know, if you can abstain, but we do know that young people are engaging in sex. And if you are, then you should consider safe sex and should actually have safe sex, because HIV does exist, STIs do exist, and where you can, you should as best as possible try to protect yourself. And it's not just HIV and STIs, but also pregnancy. So where possible, you should try and access contraception. Most contraception is safe. You know, it's not going to mess up with your fertility for the rest of your life. There is some contraception that is non-hormonal. And so as a young person, you should consider all these different ways to protect yourself, because you are at constant risk.
All right. I was talking to Dr. Dziwe Chikwadi. Ndanje kumbira kuti ndozeya nyaya ine rurimi rwaamai. Totanga nemaumbirenyu nezvedambudziko iri. Rekuti vechidiki vakawanda pari zvino vari kuzviwana mumasituations apo vari kusangana neiyo yatinoti nechirungu early child marriages, vari kusangana neiyo yatinoti nechirungu early teen pregnancies. Tipeiwo maumbirenyu nezvedambudziko iri muchionawo kakuti pari zvino. Vechidiki vazhinji kuti vawane mikana yekuwana mishonga inodzivirira nhumbu kana kuti iyo yatinoti nechirungu sexual reproductive health care, kazhinji vanofanirwa kuwana mvumo yemubereki. Izvo zviri kuita kuti vazhinji vavo vaendere mberi vachiita iyo yatinoti nechirungu risky sexual behavior. Tipewo maondereni senyanzvi munyaya dzeutano.
So zvavataura Mike chokwadi kuti zvoni isusu tinoziva kuti vana vechidiki vari kuita zvepabonde. Sezvo tatanga kutaura kuti mateenage pregnancies munguva yelockdown akawedzera. Uyezve kune you know, evidence nehumbowo iri kubuda kuti HIV muvechidiki iri kutapurirana zvakanyanya, uyezve iyo anonzi maSTI, masexually transmitted infections, ari kuwanikwa kuvana vechidiki akawanda. So iyoyi evidence yekuratidza kuti vana vari kuita nezvepabonde. Asi sezvavataura kuti munyika muno Zimbabwe chinhu chinotarisirwa pasi, vana vezera iroro havatarisirwa kuti vanofanira kunge vachiita zvepabonde. Uyezve mutemo unotaura kuti zvoni kana mwana achida kubatsa kuwana maservices sezvauri kutaura, anofanira kuenda nemubereki. Asi tinongoziva kuti inyaya yakaoma kutanga, nyange ini nezera rangu kuti nditange nyaya iyoyo yepabonde nemubereki wangu chinhu chakaoma. So mutemo watinawo chaunoita ndechekuti kana mwana asingakwanisi kutaura nemubereki, chaachaita ndechekuti achaenda achinoita zvepabonde nerwezeri asina macommodities aya anobatsira kuti adziviriri. Hakwanisi kuwana makondomu, hakwanisi kutaura nemubereki, so anoita bonde asina kudzivirira, zvomuwedzera risiki yekubata utachiona hweHIV, risiki yekubata maSTIs nerisiki yekubata pamwiri. So vakatanga kutaura nyaya iyi vari kuda kuadresa ishu iyoyo yekuti zvoni tiri kuona kuti tine dambudziko. Mutemo wedu hausi kubatsira padambudziko ratinaro. Toita sei kuti tibatsire vana vechidiki?
Tichipeta hurukuro yedu Dr. Dziwe Chikwadi, ndanchikumbira kuti mukande mashoko enyu ekupedzisira kune vateereri vose.
So chandingatanga ndechekuti sevanhu vanoshanda mune zveutano, whether tiri mahealthcare providers, ivo vanogadzirisawo mitemo yedu maminista nechechi, tofanira kutarisa kuti mutemo watinawo uri kubatsira here vana vechidiki. Kana taongorora ipapo tichiona kuti data ratinaro yekuti vana vari kuidhaudha vari kuita zvakati nezvakati nemutemo watiri kuita zviri kuringana here. Kana taona kuti hazvisi kuringana, tiri kufanira kutsvaga nzvimbo nenzira yekuti tibatsire vana vechidiki vari kusangana nematambudziko atataura. Sevabereki, chandokurudzira ndechekuti tinofanira kunge tichikwanisa kutaura nevana vedu nenyaya dzepabonde, tichivarayirawo kuvaratidza kuti hongu chatinenge tichida ndechekuti mwana wechidiki azvichengete, asaite zvepabonde. Asi kune vamwe vari kuzviita vanofanira kushandisa nzira dzekudzivirira. Hakuna chakanaka chekuti unenge uchifungidzira kuti mwana wako hazvisiri izvo zvaari kuita asi usina kupa information yekubatsira kuti kana asangana netsaona yakadai o kana asangana nesituation yakadai anozvidzivirira nekuzvichengetedza sei. kuneve chidiki chandokurudzira ndechekuti hongu pamwe tinenge tichifunga kuti tiri kutamba pasi munzira dzatinotamba tinosangana nezvakawanda sevechidiki unofanira kunge iwo uchizvichengetedza nekuzvidzivirira ariko maservices anobatsira vechidiki enda munotsvaga izvozvo makondomu aripo asi esaekuti zvoni ane malong term effects mazhinji achona ukatora anokudzivirira panguva ipapo kana usisade kushandisa uchidawo kubvisa vana vako mune ramangwana unokwanisa kurega wotoita vana vako zvakanaka
ko avo vari kutsvaga maservices aya achikurukura nezvavo vanokwanisa kumawana
maservices mazhinji ariko econtraception efamily planning anowanikwa kumaclinics tingatoti ese muno muzimbabwe kana ukaenda pakliniki iri pedyo nepaunogara unokwanisa kuwana maservices iwayo.
Well, Azulukandaba, you are hearing there from a medical expert, Dr. Chido Dziva Chikwari. Uwe chasisa ngempela ukwenza kalayo elizweni mayelana ngohlelo ngosuku lwe World AIDS Day. Muri eZimbabwe, that was medical expert Dr. Chido Dziva Chikwari speaking on the importance of Zimbabwean youth having access to sexual reproductive health care. Wasalungena kuhlelo siyakwamukela kuhlelo lethu labasakhulayo lisandukhutha ingxoxo engiyenze lengcwethi kwezempilakahle uDr. Chido Dziva Chikwari besihlaziya udaba losuku lwe World AIDS Day. Lapha ubechazisa ngempela okunengi uDr. Chido Dziva Chikwari sikhangela ukuthi i-HIV AIDS iphazamisa njani impilo zabantu abasakhulayo. Lingakhohlwa izulu kandaba ukuthi sikhuluma nje we're broadcasting on ikhasi lethu ele-VOA Ndebele kuFacebook, so lingakhohlwa ukuthi lilakho ukubhala imibono yenu ngohlelo lwethu lwabasakhulayo ngalokho okwenzakalayo elizweni okumayelana ngokumemetheka kwegcikwane le-coronavirus. Muri eZimbabwe, to everybody joining us, thank you so much for taking time out to be with us. Muri eZimbabwe, makateerera chirongwa chedu chevechidiki uhlelo The Connection lilani uMaikobe. Shout out there to Mr. T. Darira. Swa inindin Darira. Just seeing how they're partnering up with Roots Africa on a COVID-19 message. Yasho ngembelu cha signal. Uguti kezani sancha kezai moko muri eZimbabwe. Anzi endra emberi. Muchire mekeza mitimo irimo minyika yakanangana nekudzivirira kuparara kwe COVID-19. But now, muri eZimbabwe, earlier on I mentioned ukuti namhlanje kuhlelo nasi nchongwa chedu chevechidiki tukuendra mberi nenyaya yatakatanga last week. Namhlanje siqhubekela phambili ngodaba esiqale ngeviki edlule lapha kuhlelo lwethu labasakhulayo. Last week muri eZimbabwe we mentioned ukuthi nasi tonight on Live Talk The Connection we're also going to be continuing on a discussion we kicked off last week, the campaign, the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence campaign, which started on the 25th of November, is going to be running through to the 10th of December. Now, as just like we did last week, we sourced a couple of voice notes from several prominent women's rights activists. Now, this week, we also have others that we're going to be speaking to. So the first person we're going to hear from, fortunately, is Beatrice Savage of Roots Africa. They also partnered up in the message that you just listened to, got Jazz Signal. Now, in this conversation, Beatrice particularly focuses on what needs to be done in Zimbabwe to ensure that women are more safe, to ensure that the girl child is more safe against gender-based violence. So let's hear from Beatrice Savage, and when we come back, we're going to hear more from other women's rights advocates.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in, Mike, and very disheartening that whilst we having to deal with this pandemic, COVID-19, we also have to deal with some other pandemics that are happening with this pandemic, like an increase in sexual and gender-based violence. It's just been a lot of violations happening, not just sexual violations, not just, you know, physical violations, but we've recorded like various cases of violence against women. And you rightfully put it that there's been a general increase. And as an organization, really, what we've done to respond to gender-based violence is we have the shelter where we are supporting survivors of sexual and gender-based violence. We have sheltered adults and minors at the shelter, all coming in with different issues, issues of rape, issues of physical abuse, emotional abuse, economic abuse, a lot of just violations happening. And as an organization, we do not, you know, condone violence in any form against anybody. And we, our standpoint is that whenever people are in violation of any law, they're supposed to be taken through the necessary and correct procedures. Chine rwendo rwakati rebei ipapo pekuti vakadzi vaite feel safe, and so that we have safe, you know, safe cities. It's a lot of things. I think, you know, fanira kunge zviri embedded within my policies, edu, ASA, hurumende, you know, my town council chayo. I'll give you an example. Yekuti pandaimbogara imwe nzvimbo iri kure isiri muZimbabwe. Ndaifamba usiku kana kuma 10, 11 and would feel very safe. Ndaitotya kusangana nemhuka kana kusangana nemunhu achandimbunyikidza because my streets are well lit. Pane, you know, rapid response, ukangoita anything, ukafona, unowana rubatsiro. So achisi chinhu chekuti chinoda kugadzirwa pa surface. It's a lot of things that need to come into play. My policies edu, how we resource even those policies. Like I'm saying, simple things like having my street lights, sekuti kana munhu uchifamba, unokwanisa ku, you know, kufamba pakajeka. Ukafonera mapurisa, anouya immediately.
Well, Muria Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Beatrice Savage of Roots Africa with Kasanya Mbela Umbonoake and Okatega Bumkangaso with 16 Days of Activism Against Gender-Based Violence. But now, Muria Zimbabwe, whilst in the discussion of this campaign, we also reached out to Zanu Makumbe, another prominent human rights advocate. Now, in this conversation, I speak to Zanu Makumbe specifically on as we focus on the gender-based violence campaign. But we also talk on how this campaign is affecting women and, of course, the girl child. Let's hear more from the discussion that I had with Zanu Makumbe.
When we look, for example, at how gender equality is now, but also when we look at where we started and the progress that has been made over the past few years, for example, we now have more girls in schools. And we also have more women in higher positions of leadership, both in businesses and the private sector, as well as in public service. These are results of advocacy, both at the local and global level. This brings, you know, us to think about the importance of these issues, the importance of our role in changing the narrative and also in changing the livelihoods of our girls. And also it is a way for us to take stock and think about what exactly we need to do to move towards a society that, you know, protects the girl child. So, for example, we still have serious cases of systematic discrimination of girls. We still have human trafficking at a global level with girls being the highest affected, and we also see sexual exploitation of girls. We see that many girls are discriminated, but also they face structural barriers that are placed by our societies. So for me, this is that reminder, is for us to take a step back and think, what should we be doing different? And also listen to the girls, because they have a voice and they are telling us what they need from us, the support that they need their societies to provide. Of interest, I recently came across a study by the Lagos Group, and this study showed that girls are ready to overcome gender norms, but society continues to enforce biases that that are being problematic in them moving towards that step. So what does that mean for us? It means that our girls are ready. It means that they are at that stage where they just need our support, where they need us to take away the barriers that they face.
Ruwa'dzana, thank you so much for taking time out to be with us on the show. Let's start off, of course, with gender-based violence. That's the focus right now. I am a little curious in terms of your thoughts here with regards to the role that society should be playing. So what role do you think society should be playing towards ending gender-based violence and, of course, the empowerment of the girl child?
Society plays a very critical role. Let's start with the fundamentals. For example, we know that it takes a village. We were all raised, you know, being reminded that it takes a village to raise a child, or it takes a village to instill certain values in a child. So society is where we start from. It's where we come from. And if our society is alive to the challenges that girls are facing, it means that we will take positive action or will make an effort to remove the barriers that girls are facing. Mm-hmm. So I think society should take this seriously. Society should realize the discrimination that girls are facing. Why it's important is because everything mushrooms up from our society. So when we look, for example, at the laws, I understand some people say we need legal reforms, we need policy frameworks that support girls. I think that's equally important as well. But at the same time, we should take it upon ourselves, and every one of us should take it as a responsibility to ensure that girls are protected. I think we'll discuss this further when we look at cases in Zimbabwe, where we can see that society plays a great deal in terms of what's protecting the girls, but also in terms of, you know, being a safeguard and looking out and being a protector of girls. If you see something wrong is being done mm-hmm. next door, if you see that abuse is going on in your family, why are you not reporting it? So mm-hmm. it's our society, it's us basically. So it takes us to change what we are seeing every day. It takes us making, you know, that deliberate effort to ensure that girls are protected and also girls have the resources that they require. Mm-hmm. And this obviously has also to receive the support at the governmental level, at the policy level, and also where our money goes, the resources that the country sets aside in mm-hmm. terms of supporting girls, be it for education or access to healthcare services.
Kukosha 16 days of activism against gender-based violence. Pamwe chete nezvimwe zvirongwa zviripo pasi rose zvakanangana nekusimudzirwa kwekusimudzira vanhukadzi pamwe chete nevechidiki kana kuti vanasikana. Tipewo maonero nezvekukosha kwezvirongwa zvirimo.
Takatarisa zuva iri, tinoona kuti izuva rakakosha nekuti rinotirangaridza kuti tizvitarise isu pachedu kuti zvoni tiri kumboitei kuti tibatsire vana vedu vechisikana vagokura vagovawo neramangwana rakanaka. Tiri kuitei mumararamiro edu emazuva ese kuti vana vedu vange vakachengetedzeka, kuti vana vedu vasange vachibatwa nemabhinya, kuti vaya vari kukanganisa vana, vari kubata vana, vagowanikwa vachipuwa mitongo yavo yakakwana. Ndofunga kana tichitarisa mukurarama kwedu kwemazuva ese, isusu unoziva munharaunda dzedu tine zvatinoita zvinoita kuti dzimwe dzenguva tinotarisa kusaidi, dzimwe dzenguva tinoita sekunge tisiri kuona kuti vana havasi kubatwa zvakanaka. Iri responsibility yedu isusu sana baba, sana mai, sevakomana, sevasikana kuti tigotaura zviri kuti zvoni zvinhu zvakaipa ngazvisaitwe, particularly kana vari vasikana, nekuti vasikana vanoda kuchengetedzwa, uye vasikana vanosangana nematambudziko akawanda musociety, kungave vachiri vana vadiki, kungave vava vasikana, kungave vari kuzvikoro, kungave vava kumabasa. Musociety mune matambudziko mazhinji anoita kuti vasakwanise kuwana maopportunities akafanana neanowanikwa nevanakomana. Saka tinofanira kuzvitora pachedu tichitarisa zuva iri sekune kukosha kwaro, kuti zvoni chii chatiri kufanirwa kunge tichiita, chii chatinokwanisa kuita zviri nani kuti tigochengetedza vana vedu, kuti tigochengetedza vasikana vedu, kuti vagokura vagovawo neupenyu hwakanaka, uyezve kuti vagovawo vanocontributa kusociety in a way that we all acknowledge.
Tichipeta hurukuro yedu Muzvare Makumbe, ndanchida kuti tizeye nyaya, tiendere mberi tichizeya nyaya yekurodzwa kwevanasikana munyika. Tinonzwawo dzimwe nyanzvi pamwe chete nevarwere vekodzero dzevechidiki vachiti aiwa kurodzwa kwemwana musikana kumbunyikidza kodzero dzake uyezve nemaonero avo that is another form of gender based violence pachidimbo and ndachikumbira kuti mupete huku redu muchiti pamaonero enyu nezvemashoko
yes that I think that everyone would agree that the answer is yes to that, even those who are actually perpetrating child marriages in the country. When I looked at the statistics, it was very difficult for me to have, you know, straightforward numbers, because we know that it's just a few of these cases that are reported, and it's just a few of these cases that see the light of day. The majority of cases, they go unheard of. Akawanda vachona vana vanorodzwa hapana chinotaurwa munharaunda hapana chinotaurwa nevakuru zvinongonyararwa zvosiyiwa zvakadaro asi tikonoti izvi zvakuchinja kune dzimwe nzvimbo zvakuchinja kune dzimwe nharaunda where machiefs maheadmen vakubatsirana pamwe chete necommunity kuti zvona iwa hatizvide ndakatarisa Human Rights Watch of the organization, they had noted that there are millions of girls who are being subjected to child marriages. Mm-hmm. And why tichiti zvinhu zvakashata? Because we are stealing, we are robbing the futures of those girls. When we think of what they should be doing at young ages, girls should be in school. They should be getting knowledge. They should be developing. They should be growing. And if we take away that for them and subject them to untold suffering through sexual abuse, through forced labor, through violation of their fundamental rights, what are we hoping to attain in the next few years? We are robbing ourselves. We are robbing our society. So child marriages basically take children into adults before their time. It makes them adults before their time, and we cannot accept that. We cannot accept that they become confined as wives, they become confined as young mothers, because it's dangerous for their health, it's also dangerous to society. Many of them end up dying at a young age, many of them end up contracting HIV, STIs, and suffering from childbirth-related complications. So we see that it's a dire situation that we all need to address, that we all need to take seriously, because at the end of the day, we are harming our society. At the end of the day, these young girls that we are not giving the opportunity to grow and flourish are the doctors of our country. They are the engineers. They are the ones who are bringing the solutions to our country.
Well, Muriel Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Rwadzano Makumbe, a prominent human rights advocate. But now to also add to the discussion of the girl child and, of course, the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence campaign, we also reached out to Nhlanhla Moyo of Dot Youth. He is also a girl child and women and youth rights advocate. Let's hear what Nhlanhla had to say.
Progress around justice on that front has been very, very slow, if I'm to put it that way. As usual, when issues start to trend in Zimbabwe, these so-called controversial and issues that are glaring in the public domain, you get media houses picking up these stories, and there is so much of an outcry on social media. But then give it a week, give it 2 weeks or so, that noise dies down, and justice along those same lines was the same way. So I wouldn't say I am very happy about what's happening around that particular case. It is a case that has predominantly gone silent, and Zimbabwe has sort of moved on from even speaking about that case and raising awareness and seeking accountability on that particular issue.
What gives you that impression, Bafo? Because recently, this year alone, the Zimbabwe Gender Commission came up with a task force that is solely going to be focusing on early childhood marriages. Don't you think that this is action upon its own?
We have seen a lot of these so-called controversial issues in the public domain that are coming up, and the public also standing up to put political pressure on our leaders, and leaders then responding and giving some sort of favorable response, which is merely rhetoric, if I'm to be honest about it. So yes, the commission has put out that they are going to investigate. They have a dedicated task force that is meant to really scrutinize these particular issues. But Mike, I need to remind you of this. These reports are not new. We have heard the multiple indicator cluster survey. That was 2019. That highlighted, that flagged these particular issues. As I said in our previous conversation, that child marriages are at a whooping 50% in Mashona and Central. These are happening. But because now through the government then responds by giving us a bit in terms of the fact that the commission is, which whose the responsibility it actually is. I mean, we shouldn't even be celebrating that the commission all of a sudden now has this dedicated branch or dedicated task force to scrutinize these issues. The commission, the gender commission, was designed to scrutinize and to make sure that they guide gender equality in the country. So this is also part of their mandate originally.
Now, of course, whilst focusing on the work of the Zimbabwe Gender Commission, what kind of impact do you think the commission will have in A, empowering the girl child, and B, ending early child marriages?
I would say it's actually a step in the right direction. If they actually then follow through, and it's not just mere rhetoric, because then when the commission steps up to say we are then focusing on this particular issue, it means that a report is going to come out of this. And because the commission is not in a position of making law in itself, that report can serve as a very good justification for amending or even relooking at our laws, at our policies around issues of child marriage. The action, if should they follow through, is a very positive step in the right direction. And we would like to obviously see what report they produce and send it through to Parliament for policy making. We would love to see that happening as soon as possible.
Now, let's shift focus here, Bafo, from the legislative branch of Zimbabwe and just focus on all citizens here. What role do all citizens have to play towards ending early childhood marriages and, of course, leading to the empowerment of the girl child?
It's a very big role, and thank you very much, Mike, for that. Really, it's not even advice, because humanity in itself sees these as despicable, because the fact that this particular story came out in the public domain and everybody came out guns blazing to castigate such an action, it means the moral fiber of society is still there. We know it, we know what's supposed to be done, and we know what's not supposed to be done. So it is not an issue of advice, really, but to say, when you see something, say something for the people that are not practicing such. And when you hear something, probe and find out what is happening, because it may not be your child if you're a parent. It may not be your child today. It can easily be your child tomorrow, because when the communities don't do anything, reminds me of this that I read, that evil will always triumph when good people do nothing. So we need communities to step up together. We have so many vibrant community structures. I mean, in the rural, at the rural level, at the urban level, we have community consensus through residents association at urban level. We have the sabukus, the chiefs in the rural areas, the people. These are conventions through which reprieve can be achieved, and through which conversation can be had around these particular issues. But we have focused on our own families if we are not complicit, and we have let society be, which is something that is very wrong. So my point to the communities is that let's see something, let's say something. Perhaps these other issues can also come out into the public domain as the Anna Machar case, and that can put pressure on policymakers to change policy. It can put pressure on law enforcers to start really being serious around ensuring that these issues are deterred at community level.
Asiqaleni ngendaba eka Anna Machar osakhulayo obhubhe kulomnyaka owalotsholwa esisencane ngemva kokusakazwa kodaba lolu sibone udaba lolu lugcwele abantu bekhuluma ngalolu daba ku-Twitter, abanye besakaza ku-radio laku-TV. Ngemva kokusakazwa kwalolu daba, ubona ngani kukhona osekutshintshile na elizweni nxa sesikhangela udaba lokuqeda ukulotsholwa kwamantombazana?
Ngihle ngivele nje ngithi utshintsho solo bekhona nje, kodwa oluncinyane kakhulu okuthi singeke thina sithi siyathaba kakhulu njengabantu abasebenza labantwana abangamankazana. Sikhangela kakhulu, yebo, i-gender commission isisukumile yathi yona hayi sesifuna ukuthi siyihlaziye le ndaba, bazakhipha iripoti eyiyo ezancedisa isiya phambili endabeni zokubumba umthetho lezi. Kodwa nxa sikhangelisisa kuhle lindaba Mike ngokugcweleyo, ingani yindaba nje esiphonga ukuthi esiziphelele nje kungazwakalanga kakhulu ukuthi kuyini okungenzakala ngayo. Umphakathi usukumile kakhulu endabeni zebulenjini lezi, waphakama wathi wona hayi lokhu kubi, sifuna ukubona kusiba lo tshintsho olwenzakalayo. Kodwa yinto nje ethethe amaviki amabili amathathu, kwabe nje sokungani hayi sokudlulile, sokulandele okunye esithi thina sokutrenda okunye. Indaba kaMachar isingathi nje siphelele emoyeni kanjalo ngokubona kwethu.
All right, Mthokazi Muhle Zimpapo Muhle, you just heard there from Unhlanhla Moyo, ingcwethi, yena is a women and a youth rights advocate. Now, as we wrap up uhlelo lwethu lwabasakhulayo ezulukandaba, we have a report that was recently done by Intatelisi Ndaba yomsakazo we-Studio 7, uNonorai Jena, Studio 7 correspondent Nonorai Jena was recently in Mashonaland West, where some safe houses were opened. Let's head over to the report done by Nonorai Jena, and when we come back, sesigqiba uhlelo lwethu lwabasakhulayo.
Tikonoti program iyi kunowanikwa zvinhu zvakawanda, counseling yokuti kana ndave ndine dambudziko rangu ndinobatsirwa, asi kana ndabatsirwa nedambudziko rangu nevamwe vatakatrena tinobva tachiwana futi zvekuita. Vamwe vari kuita zvehuko, vamwe vari kuita zvemazai zvakasiyana siyana, kumareseva vamwe vari kutoita zvembudzi nenguruve. Saka tiri kuti apa kana tawana mari yedu, dambudziko ratinonetsanana namba rokuti hamuna chikafu rinenge rapera. Mari yevanaeschool fees ndakuiwanawo, inoo semukadzi ndakuchisa production mumba, zvinhu zvedu zvichiendeka zvicharemere munhu one semurume, ndozvimwe zvinozokonzeresa stress neviolence mudzimba. Saka safe space inzvimbo yakangosunungirika munhu womudzimai nemusikana kuti tinondotaura maissues edu. Ende zvimwe zvinhu zvazvakavanzika, aripo marepu mamwe anoti vana vakarepuwawo kavana kwekutaura vanotovharidzirwa vharidzirwa kudzimba, asi kuno kusafe space vanotaura zvese. Maprocesses obva atoitwawo kuti mwana agone kubatsirika. Kana akurumidza kuripota anobva andowanawo post exposure prophylaxis, nyaya yacho yotorwa yaendeswa mberi nemutemo.
Well, Zulukandaba, you are hearing there, okwenzakalayo eMashonaland West, where some safe houses are recently opened. Kwanele kwanamhla Mthokazi Omuhle Zimbabwe Omuhle sifikile emaphethelweni wohlelo lwethu lwabasakhulayo. Namhlanje kuhlelo, we were touching on the COVID-19 pandemic. We also focused on our World AIDS Day commemorations, and we wrapped up, of course, by touching on the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence campaign. Thokoza muhle Zimbabwe muhle sesifikile maphethelweni ohlelo lwethu labasakhulayo at Big Mike 3 on our Twitter and Instagram for everybody who's looking to catch up with me. I go by the name of Mike Hove. Mure Zimbabwe. Let's meet same time, same place. Pano, Panepinyire Studio 7. Bye-bye!